Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, Max Power producing for us. He's got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. We've got your different ways to get in touch with the program on the video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks also for watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also listen to us on the Odyssey app and participate through the little microphone icon. That will get you on with us. You can record a voice message, believe it or not, which is kind of cool. We will do it all for you. We'll get you ready for the sports weekend, both the NFL and the college basketball weekend, finally. We will do that today. We will have the full gang in to make some picks in the next hour. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a Christmas cocktail menu. Dazzle your date with the stockings and snowfall, make merry with a mistletoe mint, or gather the girls for a pumped espresso martini. The Christmas cocktail menu, now available at Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. TJ, stay up late with Monday, or it'll be Thursday night football. How are you this morning?
A little bit. Let me tell you, I'm tired of finals week. That's for sure. I feel like I'm getting flashbacks to the summer when, you know, you're just talking about the Royals and that's the only thing you really have to talk about. I feel like I turn on my laptop and I'm like, what the heck are we going to talk about? I feel like we're in the Twilight Zone. It's the same thing every day this week. There's no basketball to talk about.
No basketball, which is a bummer. But we did have Thursday night football. It was a good game. I'll tell you, I didn't make it till the very end. I made it games are, I feel like they're adding commercials to the, but like all these primetime games feel like they're going a little longer than normal. It was good.
What time did it end? I was gonna say it ended like 10:30, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I called it quits about 10:15, and they had just gotten it to within 28-26 or whatever it was. And I was like, all right, I've had enough. An interesting game though. Tampa, they got the, you saw them back. Mike Evans is back out there. Chris Godwin's back out there. Bucky Irving's back out there, and they lose it at home to the Falcons. I don't know who's going to win that division. Carolina then moves into first by virtue of not playing yet, but that's going to be an interesting one down the stretch. You know, it's so funny as I was looking at that this morning, man, I haven't paid any attention to the NFC playoff race. Like, we've been so focused on everything that has to happen in the AFC. And I do, like, I watch almost every NFL game that's played, whether it be through Red Zone on Sundays or the prime times, whatever. Like, I don't not watch much NFL. And I haven't paid any attention to, once the Cowboys kind of faltered out a little bit. It's another interesting playoff race because its bottom seeds only have four losses. The Lions are on the outside looking in. The Bucks are on the outside looking in. So they're kind of doing the same thing. Like they've got some teams that you look at and you're like, man. And then they have that division. It's the NFC South, like it's the AFC North, where nobody seems to want to run away with it. It's kind of a wild year over there, too.
Panthers going to make the playoffs?
I don't think so. I still think the Bucks will. We'll see what they do this weekend. The Panthers might be the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the NFL. You watch any Panthers? It's like they either get killed or smoke somebody. Yes. There's not much in between it.
They beat the Rams.
That's what I'm like, and they did have an overtime win. I'm looking now. They've had some closer outcomes, but they've had a lot of 40-9 losses to the Bills, 42-13 losses to the Patriots, but then 30-0 wins. I don't know what to expect. They'll either score a ton of points. They might score 30. They might score 3. They're coming off a bye week against New Orleans. They play Tampa twice, so that'll decide that division. Be cool if they did. Bryce Young might be the most forgotten about number one overall pick in a generation.
And they play Tampa twice during these final stretch?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So those will be good. I'll bet you one of those will get flexed into either Sunday or – they can't flex into Thursday Night Football. And yeah, can they?
I don't think so.
Well, Sunday Night Football will probably catch one. Yeah. I don't – maybe it was Monday Night Football they gave a flex. They added a flex somewhere.
I think they can do that. I don't think they can make a short week.
Okay, so they can get the. So hopefully we'll see one of those. I want to see Bryce Young in primetime. We do forget about him, and there are times where he looks really good, and there are times that he doesn't though.
I like Bryce Young.
I was pretty surprised. Kyle Pitts. It's the Kyle Pitts game last night for all those fantasy football players that have been investing their mortgages in Kyle Pitts for about 5 years for no return. If you had him in the playoffs last night, he probably advanced.
I saw a tweet from some fantasy account that 7% of his career fantasy points came last night.
I mean, it's crazy. I'm in a league I've been in for 30 years, and there was some chatter last night. Like, really, Kyle Pitts is going to choose now to show up in the playoffs because it's going to knock somebody out. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of game. But, you know, congratulations if you had him. Good luck this week, by the way. It is the start of the fantasy playoff weeks. This is a stressful time of year. There was, I don't know, I think, you know, life with kids and everything has got me too busy now for it to have the impact on my life that it used to. But for most of my youth and, like, young adult life, fantasy football was the most important, like, not family thing that happened. Like, I was all in. I would get the newspaper or the paper articles and get the magazines and just study them all off season when I was a teenager. Just couldn't get enough of it. I love fantasy football. So good luck, everybody, in their fantasy playoffs this week.
I've given you my fantasy update. I didn't make it in the Mega League. I'm not in that one. I just missed out on the final spot in that league. But in my Dynasty League, I think we're on year 6. I told you that I had Daniel Jones and traded away CJ Stroud, and my backups were Michael Penix and Dylan Gabriel. So this week on the waiver wire, I picked up both Riley Leonard and Phillip Rivers. So whoever's playing is my starting quarterback in the playoffs.
Not Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins killed it last night.
Those were literally the only quarterbacks available. So that's the bed that I have been given.
Cousins had a big game. We're living in an NFL where Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, Phillip Rivers. I mean, these guys are going. These guys are going strong. We'll see if Rivers is going strong, I suppose. It looks like he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
I think like it sure looks like if you look at the practice video that he's getting first team reps. I think we're going to see Phillip Rivers Sunday. And the reps that I saw, he looked exactly like Phillip Rivers has always looked. Like nothing looked any different. He's got that weird arm motion and
On the Phillip Rivers side, yesterday the newest Madden roster update came out. So they had to add Phillip Rivers into the game, and everybody was like, "What do you even rate a guy that hasn't played in 5 years? Like, is he like a 40 overall? Is he like worth a damn at all? What do you make him?"
That's a little harsh for a potential 70. For a potential future Hall of Famer. But yeah, it couldn't be too high. It would have to be pretty low. God, what a story. Come on, Rivers. Just do something.
What if they go on a run? What if they win a Super
Bowl? Well, it'll be a great story. We can't quite root for it yet because it still has a potential to impact the Chiefs. But what a story it would be. At least put up some numbers here early. And then if it does come to the point where the Chiefs are eliminated, let's see the Colts make a run. Like, let's see Rivers finally get it.
The jokes yesterday about Ursay's daughter that's been running everything, on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That something about like, this is going to be the wildest plot twist in this movie that comes out in 20 years about her. Where it's like, what's Phillip Rivers doing? Let's give him a call.
Yeah. That's got Hallmark movie written all over it. Hallmark, you could do lots of different styles of movie on that one. All right. We'll come back. We'll dig in, look toward the weekend a little bit. We'll get you the latest on Darren Peterson. We haven't talked about that yet. Bill Self has talked this week. So we'll look at that. We'll kind of begin to preview the college basketball weekend. We've got picks coming in the next hour. Fun show today. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up for it. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, here to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. High school coverage on KFH brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. Feels like basketball weather out there today and this weekend. I got to tell you, the timing of our weather. I don't know. Forgive me if I've complained about this on the air here. Complain about it off the air all the time. As somebody in a business that likes good weather, we have had the most unlucky year with all the weather not being good comes to the weekends. Like, we get this great weather on Wednesdays this year, but man, if it's a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, that's when stuff's happening. We get this cold snap this weekend. Does feel like basketball season out there. I will say that. TJ and the Catch Kansas crew will have you covered in high school basketball tonight. The first edition of the high school and the winter Catch at Kansas show. So look for that as well. We're following college basketball a great deal. We'll start with KU this weekend on the road. True road game against NC State. The only, at least as far as I'm aware, TJ, the only real update with Peterson we've gotten this week came on Wednesday when Bill Self essentially said he practiced and he looked fine. So I think that's a good sign right after the minutes. I think people are just really going to have to, They're really going to have to just get used to probably, TJ, a minutes restriction for a little while and maybe for a long while. Like, I don't know that what we're seeing, like at this point, we're this far into this thing. Are we seeing anything that makes us think he's going to just run wild anytime between now and the end of the season? Like, I think it's going to be slow going. I don't think this is going to happen quickly for him.
I think they'll cut him loose. I think I don't know if it'll be this Saturday. Do what?
You think they'll cut him loose like right now?
I mean, he's going to play the most minutes he has all year on Saturday, I think. I don't know what he did against North Carolina, I guess, but it'll be comparable to that. That's without the cramping. I think it was like 27. I think he could probably get to 30 this week, and then I think it'll probably stay around there, and then he'll get into conference play. And then I think he's going to play 35 minutes a game in conference play.
I think it at least has to clear him running down the court, pointing to his leg, saying, take me out. Like, that just happened still. So I hope it happens, too. I just don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon. Like,
unless there's cramping, which if he has a cramp, he'll come out of the game. But like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we haven't seen
that would be the reason why. But it's not going to be Bill Self saying, I don't want to push him past 25.
No, I think that's a product of Self trying to Self's trying to land on the sword with all that. Like, if Peterson's cramping, Self would rather people get annoyed with him and wonder why he's doing it than to be wondering about, like, is he helped? Like, is he going to be able to go? So I think that's all just a little game for Bill Self. But to me, like, on the road, NC State, I personally, I bet I don't expect him to play more than 20 or 25 minutes. He just came out of the last game he played with what sure looked like something, right? He was pointing to his leg, doing whatever, whether he was sick or not. I don't know that this is going to be the one for him, but that's, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not terribly concerned about that as far as their chances to win. 20 or 25 minutes of him, the way they can play defense and do some other things, should be enough. NC State this year, 28 in KenPom. It is a true road game. So it's like a quad one game here. It's not going to be easy by any means. This should be a really good test. They look like they are a really good offensive team and a decent defensive team. So I do think that favors KU a little bit, right? Their defense ought to be able to shut people down. Bill Self, if you read our guy Trius Lotta this week, Self thinks this can be a top end defense when in reality they already are a top end defense. But he thinks they can be even better. They're top 10 right now in the country defensively. I agree. I think they can still get better. I think that's what, when we talk about KU and their ceiling, if these guys continue to develop defensively, TJ, and then you plop Peterson in to help the sputtering offense, that's why, to me, like, it looks like it could go big. It could go real big. And again, why you still keep being careful. I know, but if Peterson's not 100%, and he just sure didn't look 100% the last time we saw him, just keep taking it slow. I got no problem with it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but I think that, like, I don't think that Bill Self is going to, like, he's going to play it safe right now, but I don't think once we get into conference play, like, I don't think that Bill Self is the kind of guy to be like, well, you know, March Madness is the important stuff, which he'll say that, but he's not going to, you know, reflect it in the fact of, like, we're just going to play Darren 25 minutes a game and keep him on ice until we get to that point.
No, I don't think he will either. And I agree. Like, if he was ready to go, Bill Self will turn him loose. I don't think he's ready to go. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think he's not there yet. I the last time they tried to put him out, he had to call himself out of the game. Yep. So I certainly don't think he's ready to be pushed to the limit by the coaches. And it's been, like, again, it's been okay. I don't have a problem with any of it. It's an injury. That sucks. You got to deal with it. Like, it's unfortunate. I know as fans, we want more than that, but the dude's hurt and he's been hurt and they've been able to play through it. And if right now, while they're, you know, getting him back at 100%, at some point he can give them 20 to 25 minutes a game, I think you take that, because that should be enough to win a lot of these games. Right now in the Big 12, by the way, you have six teams in the top 20. Six teams in the top 20. 30% of the top 20 is coming from the Big 12 right now. The league looks outstanding. We know Iowa State, Houston are going to be good. Arizona looks like they're going to be great. BYU has DeBance and has the, you know, the kind of the same thing as KU. And then I don't know about Texas Tech yet. I have no idea. I haven't seen them play, but they're up there as far as KenPom goes. And I say top 20. I'm talking top 20 KenPom, not AP top 25. Sorry, I should have specified that. But the metrics love the league this year. It's going to be a tough league. It's going to be a really tough league. If you think about that, how many teams are going to get in? out of the Big 12. It's usually 7, 8. Could it be 9? But if you thought of it that way, and I'll use this to transition to K-State, 6 teams right now in the top 20 of the KenPom. So that means, will you start at 7? If you're a team like K-State, who is much further down the list, K-State all the way down, if you're looking at KenPom all the way down at 79, which would be, by the way, second to last in the Big 12 in KenPom right now. K-State's got to, they've got to remind us, TJ, of why we were excited about them, because it has fallen fast and hard, and they get to go on the road and they get to play a team that is historically, you know, based on that, going to be a difficult win. A yep. team, by the way, that's ahead of them in the KenPom.
Yep.
Everyone, I know we want to talk about Creighton having a down year, but they're having a better year than K-State.
It's a big spot for them. If they could win that, you kind of feel like the ship will righten itself out a little bit. So. If they lose, I still think it's okay. It's a tough spot to go get a win. If they lose by 20 like it did in Indiana, then it's like, so we don't need to watch this team in February and January, do we? Like, no, you don't.
Well, I think that's the trickiest thing about them. Like, the best version of K-State we've seen this year is good enough to make the tournament, for sure. The worst version of K-State we've seen this year could finish last in the league. Yep. So how does Jerome Tang go find some middle ground on that? And what does the middle ground look like? That's what I want to know. And it's hard because we're deceived a little bit by the last time we saw them play, right? The last time we saw them play, they played one of the literal worst teams in the country.
The worst team in the country.
Did they fall all the way down to the bottom after that loss? Yeah, they weren't coming in, but that doesn't surprise me that they are now after losing by 60. But you had 4 losses before that. The Nebraska loss, good loss. Nebraska was good. Like, I watched almost all of that game. That I didn't feel bad about that loss. Then you watched Indiana, and you're like, all right, Indiana's pretty good. That's a road game. Okay. And then it got to Bowling Green and Seton Hall, and you're just like, I don't know what I'm looking at anymore. Like, what are we watching here? So that's the thing. If you get closer to what you saw against Nebraska, I think, you know, you'll be fine if that's your bad game. And it wasn't even a bad game, but man, you can't, the Bowling Green game, like, you can't have that in the Big 12. You'll get run out of the gym.
Nope. I agree. It just depends on. And it's not even the same thing. It's like, we used to be able to like hang our hat on the fact of like, K-State is not good at defense, but they're pretty good at offense. Like, then you watch the Bowling Green game and you're like, I don't know what they're that good at. Like,
they weren't good at anything in that game.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if they can just go to Creighton and score 90 points, like, you'll get the juice back. That's all. Like, that's fine. Give up 100. I don't care. Just score 90 and just find something that works.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty excited actually for that game, just to kind of see, right? Could they please don't do this, K-State. Like, please don't do this. This is your home of Wildcat sports. Like, don't do this again. You've got PJ Haggerty there. We can all see the upside. We saw plenty of the upside to start the year to really get us excited. Not just like, oh, look, they might be good. Like, they get us legitimately, at least me, excited about this season. Like, man, they look pretty good. Like, man, I think I'm come on here saying I think they could finish top 5 in the Big 12 when we were watching them play early in the year. Well, they've fallen hard from that. Can they get anywhere close to it? They better figure out some offense that doesn't involve PJ Haggerty, or they'll be in trouble. That game, here's the good thing about this weekend's games. All 3 of them are different times. You can watch, not that, you know, a lot of us have an entire Saturday to park and watch college basketball yet, but you can watch all 3 of these. And it starts with Wichita State at 11. I believe I'll be coaching the Bolts. I'll be coaching the Bolts there. So I'll have to catch the end of the Shocker game.
This is one of the, no offense to my wife, this is one of the good Saturdays to work, because we're going to the DePaul game at 11. Then I'm going to work. Then I'll watch the K-State game at work. And then I'll watch the KU game at work. And I will have data points galore.
I love it, because these are the ones where people ask what you do for a living, and you're like, well, guess what? This is my job today. Yeah, those are Those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Those are the good ones. I am excited. I'll watch the second half of the game as soon as we get home, as soon as we finish up the season. Shout out, by the way, to some listeners. I've seen a couple in the last few days at some holiday parties and things that have told me they enjoy, because they're in the same stage of life, the fifth grade girls basketball conversations. That's shout out to the Bolts. DePaul is pretty good. DePaul is exactly who I want to see the Shockers play in this time of year. They're not bad. They're not great, but they're not bad. They're not that far off from where Wichita State sits right now in the metrics. They're what I like about them. So they sit right now, TJ, 130 in the KenPom. If you look up and down the American, so we haven't done this in a while. Memphis, believe it or not, is the highest ranked team, even at 4-4. Then it's Tulsa, which is such a fun development. I hope Tulsa's good. That's a great rivalry. South Florida, then Wichita State. They're all inside the top 90. Okay, so that would be so far what we would probably think of as the top end of it. And then UAB and Florida Atlantic are 104-118. And then maybe you put them up there too. North Texas then falls. Well, DePaul falls at like 130. So you're looking at DePaul right now based on the metrics, like a mid-level American team. That's what DePaul would essentially be. And when we're getting close to conference play, hosting a mid-level, American team, I think is a really good barometer for Wichita State. I have no idea what that line's going to be or anything else. They don't come out till same day in college basketball. But I think it's one that we can really probably take a lot from.
Yeah, I agree. This is one that, you can make yourself feel good about a win here and make yourself, basically wash away everything that happened in the Bahamas. And Wichita State's playing like they did. And I think that the one thing that stuck out to me, I used this on TV last night. We listened to Paul Mills at his press conference yesterday, and I asked him the biggest difference between, going on the road in the Bahamas and losing to three good teams, going on the road in Boise and losing to a good team, and then you go on a road to Northern Iowa and you beat a good team. Like, what happened? Like, what's the difference in that one? He basically said that, we can't get out hustled. Like, we play for Wichita State. You can't get out hustled. Like, that's the thing that makes this whole thing go, and it has for decades. And it's before any of us got here. And they did. And that's just kind of they out hustled Northern Iowa. And so you see how much that translates. That's the one thing that you can travel with on the road, basically, is what coaches always preach on. So if they can bring that home here and put up an offensive showing like we've seen in the past, there's no reason to think they shouldn't beat DePaul. I think if you lose, it's a letdown at this point. I think this is a game that you kind of need to win.
I don't feel like they have been a hustle issue team, at least to my eyes. Clearly it's something Coach Mills is concerned about, but I haven't. I think the thing that has killed them is when they're bad stretches snowball, and it's happened in every game almost. Like all those, it's like one like really good half and one where they have these stretches where it unravels. And I don't watch it and I'm like, man, they just need to hustle, because we've seen that problem before, right? That even at Wichita State, even in the Paul Mills era, I haven't gotten that impression from this group. I think they need to maybe get better at getting ugly, right? Like when that portion of the game comes for them, how do you play ugly? Like, it's not going to look pretty. It's not going to be something where we're really excited, but it limits the damage of that part of a game that has, I mean, there has it happened in every game, at least every game of significance.
Every game that they've lost is basically the fact that they either come out and get punched in the face, or they come out in like Western Kentucky, play with their food. I think with Western Kentucky, it's because you played with your food too long early, and then you just didn't give yourself a chance.
The Northern Iowa game, the same thing happened, but they figured out a way. Yep. So it was almost like they did get just a little bit better at when it gets ugly, because it's coming. It's college basketball. It's game of runs. We all know that. All the cliches, they're true for a reason. When it gets to that point, how do you weather that storm? And against Northern Iowa, they actually did, right? They got through it, because telling you, our text threads on that, as that game's happening, we're just like, you got to be kidding me. And then they found a way in the end. TJ Williams, he's a great ugly basketball player. And maybe that's a part of it. Like, if things are going ugly, his style, get him the ball and let him go bully ball toward the basket. That's perfect, right? You're not making any shots. You're not doing anything else. What can you do? You can get to the free throw line. And that's where I think TJ Williams has really taken a step forward. And hopefully they can lean into that when things are going that way. All right, let's just hang tight here, everybody. Put the ball in his hand. Let's get him headed toward the basket and see if we can get you to the line. I think they learned something there. We'll see if they carry it over this weekend against DePaul. Yep. All three games, you'll be able to watch them. You'll hear the Shockers over on KEYN here with us. You'll hear K-State here on KFH, both Shocker and Wildcat Athletics with our Odyssey family of networks. Looking forward to it. It has been too long. Finals week has been a pain in the butt. Big day of movement for Colin Klein and the K-State coaching staff. We know he will be with basically an entirely new crew. I mean, other than maybe some assistant coaches here and there, all the major coaches will be out, right? Am I missing anybody? But, you know, I know, you know, offensive, defensive coordinators will be different. We know now there is a special teams coordinator that is different. And down the list, he's got a full staff to hire.
Yeah, there's a couple position coaches that were retained. Most of the recruiting staff was retained, but as for the coordinators and stuff like that, there will be a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator and a new special teams coordinator and, you know, running backs, wide receivers, cornerbacks. Everybody basically is brand new except for a couple. So
that's a big deal.
I know that's what we've talked about. I know is the fact of, like, you're a coach that has to hire everybody and recruit a team and coach Texas A&M all within the span of the next month, basically. Like,
and
I can't imagine
a first-time head coach next year with no familiarity, basically, anywhere.
Yeah.
That's tricky, right? I kind of had hoped that he could somehow find a way that Klanderman would stay.
That was the one that was kind of the 50-50. I was like, you could get your own guy, but he also worked with Klanderman at K-State, and he was the DC while he was the OC, and you think that he might. So I think that there may have been a little bit of, like, you know, Klanderman just wanting to move on without climbing there because that was his guy.
I totally get it.
I think it's a little bit of that. I don't think that that one was quite as much of, like, you don't have a spot here. The rest of them, that may be the case.
Yeah, well, a lot of K-State fans are ready to move on from Matt Wells, who was a Klieman guy, their buddies. That was not working. For us, like, we think about Avery Johnson, and that's not fair to only think about Avery Johnson. Like, Dylan Edwards got hurt. What would he have done? We don't know. But with Avery, I don't buy into – a lot of people think he regressed. I don't think he regressed. I think he probably stayed more level. He did a lot of things as a passer I think that you like and that look good. He didn't run early on, whether it was fear of injury by design, whatever the reason was. He started to a little bit later. I'm so excited if he comes back to get him back with Colin Klein. That's the guy that they obviously connected early on. I don't know if you'd ever, maybe we will. If Avery Johnson stays, I hope we get a chance to ask him the question. Like, how much of coming to K-State had to do with Colin Klein in the first place, right? Because we know he was involved in the recruitment on that.
I mean, I'd say
heavily involved.
Yeah, I'd say so much so that there was talks about him leaving whenever Colin Klein wasn't there. Like, it's a big deal for him, especially, you know, he grew a really good relationship with him, and, you know, being a quarterback that played at K-State and being in a Heisman finalist conversation and everything like that, like, that was a big allure to get him to K-State. And I think that once he got there, I think that Avery, you know, kind of fell in love with Coach Klieman and fell in love with a lot of other stuff. And Avery liked Matt Wells a lot, is the other part of this as well. But I think that Colin Klein is a big deal for him. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he liked Matt Wells too. I also think Matt Wells was the easiest, like, okay, something needs to change here. We'll see on Avery. I kind of am afraid that we're all just assuming he'll return now that Klein's back, and I don't think that's a safe assumption yet. I hope so, because from the beginning, we've said, like, all I want really is for Avery to develop at the highest rate that he can next year, whether that's in Manhattan or not, right? It's not normal for us with a recruit because we're at a local level with what Avery does. So I just want him to be the best he can be. I think the chances of that happening now at K-State are higher with Colin Klein there.
I agree.
Now I kind of want to see him stay. I'm not going to be, you know, he still has a big important decision to make with that. And right now, like, I don't know how much of these conversations you can have yet because you're trying to hire a coaching staff and do all these things if you're Colin Klein. But top priority is not to go get some playmakers. Like, who wants to come here and play at a top-level offense? This is something Colin Klein should be able to utilize on the recruiting trail, right? Look at what we just did at Texas A&M. Look at what I did for Will Howard when he was here. Look at Avery Johnson's freshman year. Like, look at all of these things. Come to K-State. Let's have a special year on offense. Yep. You need what? What would they need? Two more of those guys? See if you can get Jace Brown to return, right? That's on the table, I think, isn't it, from what we've understood?
I have no idea. I don't think anybody has any idea on Jace Brown.
But we have this conversation with him every offseason, and then he's always back. He's been K-State.
For what?
He's been there 3 years now?
Same as Avery, yeah. But
every offseason, we have the same question with him.
I mean, last year, you know, the people were reporting that he was going to sit out and redshirt and leave and everything like that. And I think that there was conversations had. We talked about that with, you know, Fitz last year about, you know, K-State said, listen, why are you doing that? Like, we'll get you some more. Stay here. And they convinced him to stay. And now it's like everybody that he grew up around, you know, I don't think that he has the loyalty to Colin Klein like Avery does.
I bet he does. I mean, Klein was the guy there. Klein helped recruit all those guys. You know, they put together those classes with Klein. They need, and if it's not, whatever it is, like, we're going to like the tight ends. Maybe the running back room is fine now. They need maybe two more big-time weapons to install into the offense, and I think it could be enough. And I think with K-State and Klein and a reinvigorated, probably, booster base right now, you could find what it takes to go get some dudes. Go get a couple dudes, right? And I think you'd be working. But that also brings in no Klanderman. What does the defense look like next year? I think the general consensus is the line should be okay, right? They've developed and they should be okay next year. What's that defense going to look like?
Yeah.
That has been like steady Eddie for K-State for a long time with Klanderman. New coordinator, that can be a massive change now. What do they go do, find, get? I don't know. I do like Weber coming in as a special teams coordinator. I think you and I have been anticipating a lot of those kinds of hires. And that one's great because he's been able to go have his chops and do some things. But I, you know, we don't just need a big family reunion here either. Like, you got to be careful with that stuff.
I agree. They've got two so far. I mean, they've both got the chops. The GM, Trey Scott, was the other hire yesterday. And he was one that, which I didn't even think about. He shared a quarterback room with Colin Klein back in like 2010. So that's pretty cool. But he's worked within the NFL for 11 years. He was a player agent for 3 years. Like, that, you know, screams somebody that can negotiate NIL deals and somebody who can, you know, help land guys on rosters and everything like that. But, you know, they basically said he will help Coach Klein with roster composition is basically his role. So whatever that means of, you know, the NIL world or the transfer portal world or the recruiting world, I'm not sure where he fits into all that, but you'd think that some guy that's worked in the NFL for 11 years has to help the staff.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know what these guys are going to do anyway. We don't know what GMs are going to do. We don't know what latitude they're going to have in the sport, let alone from place to place. I do think they're important positions right now because you do have to, like, you have to have somebody that can take a look at it at minimum, just like, here's our total pool of money. Here's where it's being allocated. Here's what we have left to work with, to go out and recruit with. I that's too much for a head coach to have to try to do. They don't do it in the NFL. And if they do try it in the NFL, it almost never works, right? It almost always fails. So it's an important position. And by the way, athletic directors don't have time to do it either. Athletic directors also have like 12 other sports they're trying to navigate. So it's the right way to go. It's the you know, it's this new trend in college athletics, and in a lot of places it's just kind of been figureheads, right? Is Shaq going to come be somebody's GM? I think it's more important than that. Like, it needs to.
Isn't Shaq actually somebody's GM?
I think so. Yeah, I think like he is.
Sacramento State, I think.
Yeah, like there are those out there, but I don't think Shaq's, you know, got the spreadsheet out. But I think you need it now until they figure this out. Like, you have to look at it and say, here's what we've got. Here's what we can spend. Here's how we allocate it. You've got XYZ to go out on the recruiting trail to promise. And Colin Klein's got to be able to say, hey, I think I got a kid. How do I close the deal? And new GM, what's his name? Scott?
Scott. Trey Scott.
Trey Scott. He's got to be able to get on the phone and say, you got this much money. Go get him. Go finish it off.
It's basically teams have those roles to, like, more so the coach doesn't get caught up in NIL money, because, like, you don't want the coach thinking about things about, like, well, I paid this kid this much money, so I need to play him more. A lot of the time, like Bill Self will tell you, they don't really do this. They don't have a GM, but, like, he lets somebody else kind of take care of that part of it, I believe, unless I'm mistaken here. But a lot of coaches will say this, of like, I don't know what my players make. Like, I know that guy is probably paid handsomely, but, like, I don't want to know how much they make, because if I take him out of a game, I don't want to sit there and think about, I just benched $2 million. Like, I just lit $2 million on fire. Like, coaches don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, that would surprise me. But maybe, I think with Bill Self, look, college basketball is different. Like, Bill Self's very aware of what it's taken to get Darren Peterson to come to Kansas. And he's very aware. He's got 8 guys to worry about, not 80.
I think it's a bigger deal in football.
Yes. And he's going to be very good at the things that allow a guy like Darren Peterson to come play at Kansas. Like, that's a part of Bill Self's wheelhouse, I think. Like, he's very aware of that stuff. He's very aware of the process. He's very aware of how to deal with all the different parts of players like this and what it's going to take to, you know, to make that work. And by the way, I do think it's working right now with Peterson. I think he just has an injury that sucks, that's annoying. But I think Bill Self, he hasn't handled it well as far as us getting the information we want. But Darren Peterson, every time he gets a chance to get out there, is awesome. And he looks like, body language, dude looks the part. So Bill Self handles it fine. Can Lance Leipold handle it times 10? No. I wouldn't want him to. That's all you'd do. Like, you wouldn't even have time to coach if you got caught up in it. So I hope these GMs do a good job. I hope they help these coaches not, you know, find their breaking points as quickly as we've seen coaches, and now Chris Klieman, find it. But we'll see. Yep. Those are the two hires yesterday.
Yeah. Defensive two guys and offensive with connections coordinator.
To the program.
Defensive and offensive coordinators are ones that nobody, like, Stanton Weber was one that, and both of those guys were kind of ones that were like, this makes too much sense not to do. Offensive coordinator is like, what is he going to do?
We were joking yesterday, what if Klein goes after Kotelnik? You want high drama? K-State KU fans? KU fans just vomited a little bit. They're so hopeful that Kotelnik will come back. I am too. But I give him a call. If I'm calling Klein, I'm giving him a call. Hey, bud, you want to come on back? Come right back. We will with more Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Another hour here. We'll make some picks in a few minutes with the fellas. Should be fun. We've got football picks coming for you. I'll just keep chugging away here, getting you ready for a full football weekend as well. We'll discuss Chiefs Chargers a little more in depth. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, yeah. A cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager, available at all 3 WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. TJ, you sent me Todd Bowles' comments last night. Good stuff. Dropping some F-bombs and just really getting after it in the post game. Always appreciate that. Those uniforms last night.
They needed both. That's one of the best.
It's one of the best. The Falcons version of that uniform, also one of my classic.
They need to change too.
And, you know, the thing is, both teams have evolved into good uniforms. I don't dislike either of what they have. The Buccaneers are.
They so have. They used to have. Buccaneers used to have some of the worst jerseys in football. They were awful.
You're talking about the ones they wore last night?
No, 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 no. The ones last night were great. They used to, like, whenever Jameis first got there, like that era.
Oh, yeah. Those were terrible. They got rid of those real quick. So I forgot about those. The version they have now, like the ones they wear, that was version. So when I was a kid, so you have the Cowboys dynasty, right? And I was probably, I would have been 7, 8, 10 years old that age. Well, after that was a nightmare. And so here I am, this middle schooler, so fed up with the Cowboys that I decided, because I loved Warrick Dunn in college, played, he's a little guy like me. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a Bucks fan. And for 10 years, I was a diehard Bucks fan, had a starter jacket. It's right as they transitioned into the uniform they have now, right? They changed. But man, I got to tell you, those throwbacks, the creamsicle, they need to lean into it more. It's hard. I would say you could make it your all the time uniform and it'd be just fine.
It would.
But I also think they've built and won 2 Super Bowls with these others. And it also has now a ton of this history. It should at least be half the time. They're so good.
They need to just rebrand it and just like, just go back to that. Get the old Buccaneer with the mustache. Because
all whites with that, or that creamsicle pants, also is a great look.
They need to just rebrand, make some white jerseys that have, you know, creamsicle as their main color. Get some they can have a red jersey still. Like, they can do all this stuff. Like, they need to do that. The Falcons need to just, and the Falcons jerseys are basically just a different helmet. That's the only thing that's different about theirs.
Yeah,
the red helmet.
Yeah.
The red helmet is very cool. They need to just make a white jersey to wear with the red helmet and that just be their road jerseys. The Seahawks, for that matter, need to go back to their royal blue jerseys.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Like, Seahawks were always one of my favorite uniforms.
There's so many that can just go backwards and have the perfect jerseys.
And the NFL is, you know, I don't always think that way. Like, uniform evolutions get better over time, but I am a classic uniform person. Right. But like, for instance, the different variations on the classics where it's just, that's why I don't mind the Falcons new ones now versus like the Michael Vick later on Falcons with like, that kind of looked like the bad Bucks uniforms. The Chiefs though, I got all the respect in the world. Chiefs have never messed with it. And I think that's awesome.
And everybody's wanted them to put in a yellow jersey and a black jersey, and they won't.
The only thing you could ever do if you were going to do anything, and I don't think they should, is wear a black jersey. That's it. Yeah. But
they're going to get the, I can't remember what they're called, the rivalries, NFL rivalries or whatever. Because, you know, like the Cardinals desert jersey they wore.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? That was one of them. And only like 6 or 7 teams got it this time around. But it's going to roll out for the rest of the league. The Chiefs are going to get one. They're going to have to wear an alternate uniform for the first time in ever. And
are
so,
they the only ones left? So who would not have messed around with anything? The Raiders, the Chiefs.
I mean, Cowboys, kind of.
The Cowboys have their Thanksgiving jersey. Yeah, the Cowboys. You know, because even like Green Bay has worn some alternates over the years. Even the Steelers have worn some alternates over the years.
Not even that. I'm like their primary jersey. Like Packers haven't changed. The Packers have gone so far as to not change. I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know how big of a jersey sicko you are.
I love uniform talk.
They haven't evolved. So like a Chiefs jersey looks different than a Packers jersey, like the stitching of it, because the Packers still use their manufacturer that used to make the Reebok jerseys that is in Wisconsin. And so their jerseys aren't like the perfect dry fit. Like they still have like the stitching here and they're the mesh with the holes in them, like the old Reebok jerseys. So if you ever watch Packers game, they look different than everybody else because they won't change.
I mean, I love that stuff. I love that kind of thing. I think it's really cool. But yeah, shout out, hat tip to the uniforms last night in Thursday Night Football. They were immaculate. They looked so dang good. And it popped into my head because I'm watching Todd Bowles blow a gasket in creamsicle colors.
And he just looks so cool.
Yeah. God, it's great stuff. I'm a big uniform guy. I like,
especially in a world I was very much, I loved whenever the NBA started rolling out the City Edition jerseys. And no, I was like, no, this no, no, this no. is so cool. And no. now Now teams don't even wear their normal jerseys, and that drives me bonkers.
Ever. It drives they don't even have normal NBA. Jerseys in the NBA anymore. There I are love, a few teams.
I love an alternate jersey, and I'm the biggest jersey snob. In baseball, I could talk about it for hours and stuff like that. Worth the point now in the NBA where, like, the playoff cup game, like, people wear, like, white on the road now. Like, it's like, this is off the rail. We've lost the plot. What are we wearing?
Speaking of baseball, winter meetings, Royals haven't done much. They signed Lane Thomas. Actually like Lane Thomas, but that's not the move that they're going
that's
to.
Not the, no, that's not the move. That is just a move.
Yeah. I do like Lane Thomas, though.
Yeah. I dug more into it last night. He has historically, outside of 2025, has hit lefties pretty well. And so he's basically going to be your platoon guy to swap out with blank, you know.
He's got some, and he's got some upside too. Like, he does a lot of things well, so I don't mind that signing at all. Nothing else though, right? And like, that's a little surprising. I would have guessed that this would have been the spot where they make the trade, the winter meetings. Now I'm like, okay, well, those are almost over. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, you've got, I mean, I suppose you can run into the season with that and just hope for the elephant in the room for the Royals and our activity of needing to add a bat is they still do have a lot of young players who could take a step forward, similar to what Mikel Garcia did last year. Jack Caglione, most namely, like, they could grow enough in the, but I'm not comfortable with that when you have so much starting pitching depth to trade away. And you have most of your bullpen coming back. Like, I really think they could strike while the iron's hot on that. And maybe they can still go get a guy like Adolis Garcia and not have to lose anything, but maybe they still can. One trade rumor that's constantly out there and apparently still is, Tarek Skubal. I'm surprised that the Tigers franchise, who has a history of spending money, right? Miguel Cabrera, Justin Verlander all those years. Like, this isn't some small market, never spend money team. I'm a little surprised at all the Skubal trade rumor talk. I mean, he would get you a haul. I get it. And they do have a lot of starting pitching. But that guy? Why would they trade Tarek Skubal?
Depends on your window, I guess. How do you think you're going to be good enough to make it worth your while?
Why isn't he a part of every window for them? That's an organization that spends money.
It is, but, you know, if you're not going to, if you don't think that you have a chance, that's what the whole bottom line is about.
What do you mean have a chance? They've been in the playoffs two straight years.
I agree, but I mean, that's the only reason that you would. That's me answering your question. I don't know why they would think that, but, like, they've got a lot of young talent. They've got, you know, they had the number one pick in Torkelson, who's been playing in the bigs for 4 or 5 years now. Like, they could, you know, I would imagine
they must not think they have a chance to keep him in free agency. Like, that's the only, they must just know, like, we're not going to be able to keep him in free agency. So do you trade him now or do you trade him in the middle of the season? Rick says they won't spend that kind of money. Rick, they have. They signed Miguel Cabrera. That time he was the best player in baseball. They have spent money historically. Justin Verlander was the best pitcher in baseball for a long time. He's a Tiger. So why now? Why do you draw the line at Tarek Skubal? That's what I can't figure out, right? Like, what is it about that? And maybe it's just that they feel like the haul is really big, but good luck. I hope the Royals I would love for him to trade Tarek Skubal away. Right? Get him out of here. Get him out of the division.
Maybe the Royals should trade for him.
No, they shouldn't do that.
That would not be a good move for the Royals.
It would not. It would take everything they have down on the farm. And
for a team that has 8 starting pitchers.
Right. You'd have to trade 4 of them to get Skubal.
Yeah.
Texas Rangers are a team that should trade for Tarek Skubal. Man, what a weird time in baseball. Come on, Royals, do something. Get us excited. We're going to come back. We'll be excited to make some football picks. TJ's got the receipts. It's big news in the football picks world. We'll tell you what it is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. That game you'll see on CBS on KWCH this weekend. Chiefs Chargers.
We'll get to that one. It's one of the games we're picking. Oh boy, Brandon is down for the count. He just let us know he's sick. He will not be here. We have his picks, though. So before we get into the picks, TJ, how do we look after last week?
We look great, let me tell you. We look amazing, actually. Jacob has held the lead in this thing. Well, let's see. Since I've made a spreadsheet, basically. So we'll call that... week. We'll call that a while. So in week 15, officially a change in the leader in the clubhouse. TJ Cleland is back above 500, is all it takes to get a lead in this thing. 48-47 on the year. I went 4-2 last week thanks to my Steelers Island. Was a big part of that. I go 4-2. Brandon goes 5-1, so he's 45-50. Jacob goes 2-4. Tommy goes 3-3, excuse me, and Paul goes 1-5.
What?
Yikes. To round out our standings, TJ's in the lead at 48-47, Jacob at 47-48. Brandon in third place has crawled out of the depths of hell, 45-50, and then Tommy and Paul are tied at 43-52.
I strive to pay better attention and not give you the last pick every time with all the islands this week, TJ. That is my commitment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If I wouldn't have taken that Alabama island, I would have had a 2-game lead on you.
I don't know what got me so off on the order of things last week, but we'll do better today. All right, Max, hit the music. Let's make some picks.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? Time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, tough guy, you're the leader in the clubhouse, leader of the week. You can go first. Army Navy here. Navy is a 6-point favorite in Baltimore. It is the lone college football game. It is the Service Academy game that gets the stage all to itself. What do you think?
From all of the Service Academy football that I have watched this year, and by that I mean one single game, Army looked pretty good. I'm going to take Army plus the points. I think that there's that part of it. I think the other part of it that we talked to PJ Glasser about is that if it's a Service Academy game, there's a real chance it could be a 3-point win or something of that nature. So I'll take Army plus 6.
Brandon is taking Army plus 6. I believe, Tommy, you were next in the standings for the week. What do you got this year?
Yeah, I mean, this game is always more fun when both teams are good. There have been many years where the teams have been bad, and it's just kind of a throwaway game. But both of these teams are bowl teams, right? Like, they're both going to bowl games. I know, obviously, Army beat Kansas State in Manhattan earlier this year, and that probably plays into some of the predictions for this particular game. But at the end of the day, Navy is more explosive offensively. I think it's going to be close, but because it's within a touchdown, I'm going to take Navy. I'm going to lay the 6 points. I think they'll win by 7.
This one's always pretty simple for me. My dad's an Army vet. I'm not picking Navy. Give me Army, go 6 points. Paul?
Anchors away, my boys. Anchors away. I'm taking Navy.
I think Paul and I have made the same pick on Army-Navy for a decade now.
My dad was in the Navy.
I pick Army because my dad's an Army vet.
My dad
Paul
was
picks
in the
Navy because he gets to sing that song.
There you go.
The tradition is alive, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to the NFL now. That's the only college football game we have. So we'll get right into one that has, believe it or not, some playoff implications when you're talking about Baltimore. The Ravens are 2.5-point favorites on the road. Brandon would be first. He takes Ravens minus 2.5. Tommy.
Did you catch the report or the conversation that Joe Burrow had where he hinted at early retirement?
I did. It was very Andrew Luck-ish.
A la Andrew Luck. I don't know. It's weird. The whole situation's weird. What's even weirder, though, is honestly how not great the Ravens have looked. And it's weird. Like Lamar Jackson, you know, he has some flashes where you're like, okay, the old Lamar is going to be back. But then they just, you know, outside of Derrick Henry, overall consistently just not getting it done. I'm actually going to take the points. I'll take the Bengals. I like that 2.5, so I'm going to take them.
You know, I was with you on that until I saw that Joe Burrow conversation. And we talked to PJ Glasser yesterday, and he reminded us that the Ravens have been quite a bit better on the road for whatever reason. And the Bengals had the Bills beat. They had him beat. Burrow made a mistake. I hope that's not the case. But with the amount of injuries and stuff he's had, I mean, Tommy, you know that for all the years we did the show. I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan. I think he's so dang good. But he just gets annihilated back there, just like Andrew Luck used to. I'm going to take the Ravens here. Put up or shut up. Lamar's too good to play poorly for this long. He looked a little bit better last week. I think he'll get it done, and I think they'll climb back into it. That brings us to Paul.
Well, here's the problem. I've given the Ravens credit after week after week after week after week. I'm tired of giving them credit. I'm going with Joe Burrow. I'm going with the Bengals. I haven't taken the Bengals yet this year. I'm taking the Bengals this week. Enough of the Ravens and all their hype.
DJ, you agree?
I agree. Bengals. I think the Ravens just kind of stink, frankly, and I'm tired of listening to you talk about how they had a chance to get into the playoffs, and it's for that reason it's an emotional
That was last year. I haven't talked about
that. No, that was about a month ago. You said a month ago.
Then they lost a bunch of games.
So for that reason, I have some hatred in my heart. I just want them to lose every single game the rest of the way. Give me the Bengals.
TJ, you weren't here last year. It's always fun to find things that I knew would drive Tommy absolutely up the wall. That was a last year conversation. Every
about
week.
The Bengals. Yeah, about the Bengals. You were,
And they took it to, didn't they take it to week 17? Like with a chance?
Final game, yeah.
I thought Tommy would have retired that day, I think, had the Bengals actually done it. Because we were, it was so easy to poke that bear.
What made me so mad, like some context on this, is the Bengals were like, 1-7 or something to start the year? And every week you kept talking about the Bengals might make the playoffs. I'm like, they're 1-7. They're 1-7.
They almost did. It was week 17, I think, wasn't it? It was either week 16 or week 17 last year. Man, that was fun. Good times. No, they just wasting away Joe Burrow. It's like wasting away Andrew Luck. God, that drives me crazy when teams do that. And we'll see. We go to the Chiefs. We'll get to that, speaking of quarterbacks getting annihilated. But first, Bills-Patriots round two. I think I'm up first here. Bills-Patriots round two. Like, I get it. Like, the Bills are like the Chiefs or like the Ravens. They keep getting too much credit on the lines. But guys, the Bills should have lost to the Bengals last week if Burrow doesn't make that huge mistake late. And that was a home game. The Patriots beat him before. The Patriots are coming off a bye with one of the best coaches in football. I got to take the home points here. I'm taking the Patriots and the points. Give it to me. Paul.
You know something? You're on to something there. I think that this is a game that is so close. And when I have those games where I'm really kind of confused, which way do I go? I take a look at a couple of factors, and one of the big factors might be home field advantage. Home field advantage plus a point and a half, that spells to me Patriots all the way. I think I'm taking the Patriots. Normally I would go with the Bills, but I'm taking the Patriots.
DJ?
This feels like a lot of Patriots disrespect for some reason. I don't understand this line. Like, this feels like they should be laying the points against the Bills. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm taking the Patriots. If you're giving me plus points at home, I will take those every single time with New England.
Vegas is stubborn. We're about to see the Chiefs favored by 5.5. I think it's the same thing. Ravens, Bills, like, it's a trend. Like, they just won't let these teams go. I don't know. Brandon's taking the Bills. Brandon's laying the points. Tommy?
Do we really, really, really think that the New England Patriots will beat the Buffalo Bills twice in one season? Because they already did it on the road in Buffalo a couple of months ago. They beat them by a field goal. I have a really hard time thinking that Josh Allen and Sean McDermott are going to get swept by the Patriots this season. I just have a hard time thinking that. And I understand everything about the Patriots. I'm not like anti-New England. I like Mike Vrabel. I think Drake May's the real deal. They've been really good this season. I just have a hard time thinking they're going to knock off the Bills twice in one season. I'm going to lay the points, and I'm going to take Buffalo.
Max is having a heart attack right now, if you can't see it. All right, let's go to Paul. You start us off then with the Chiefs. -5.5 after the hot garbage they've laid out there for a few weeks. Still 5.5-point favorites at home against the Chargers.
Oh, geez, is this where they start their run? Maybe this is now they're going to start paying attention, and maybe they make their run to the playoffs. Max is shaking his head like I'm crazy. Oh, but the Chiefs, they can do it. Oh, good for the Chiefs. I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, it's a tough ask, TJ, to take the Chiefs for anything right now. It's a tough ask to take the Chiefs and take the 5.5 points.
I think I've faded the Chiefs for a month now, and it's paid dividends. They don't cover They don't. They have never covered. But now it's like Vegas. Talking about Vegas being stubborn. I don't know if Vegas watches the Chiefs games. The lines don't adjust. This is what the line should be. If the Chiefs were still playing like one of the best teams in football, they'd be 5.5-point favorites over the Chargers. For that reason, I am not picking the Chiefs. There's no way on earth I'm laying 5.5. Maybe 2.5, but I'd probably still pick the Chargers. Give me Chargers plus 5.5.
The Vegas likes to make money, and they know, like they've known with the Cowboys forever, that people just keep auto-betting the
Chiefs.
Right.
That's right. That is right.
I'll fall for the trap, though. I am going to take it. Here's why. We talked about Joe Burrow getting smashed. Justin Herbert. I mean, I know they won that Eagles game, but my goodness. Like, what did he get sacked? Like 9 times in that game? It makes me a little bit leery because you are worried. Like, the Chiefs aren't officially eliminated. I don't think they'll have any give up in them, which means Chris Jones won't have any give up in him. And if he plays the way he did against Houston in the second half against that Chargers O-line, I think it's going to be really hard for the Chargers to get things going offensively. I'm going to very reluctantly take the Chiefs just because that line for the Chargers is in absolute shambles right now. I think they're down 5 top linemen something insane like that. Not that the Chiefs' offensive line is in much better shape health-wise. We'll see who can play this week, I suppose. Tommy, what do you have?
Yeah, I was going to say the Chiefs' offensive line is comparable to what the Chargers' offensive line looks like right now as far as injuries are concerned. If you had given me the Chiefs' island, I probably would have reluctantly taken it, but you didn't give me the Chiefs' island. So because of that, I'm going to take the safe pick. I'm going to join everybody else but you, Jacob, and take the Chargers and take the points. I just think that it's been so frustrating, and you never know. I mean, I guess Kansas City could find a way to get it done and win by a touchdown or more and to really try to get after Justin Herbert and figure things out. But that's a lot of ifs, and I just don't. It's a lot of points and a lot of ifs. I just don't trust it. I'm going to take the Chargers.
I think the Chiefs can win. I don't like the 5.5. Like, that's the problem, is they could easily win within that number. They play every game within that number.
Jacob, you got an island with the Chiefs. I don't believe in the history of this show the Chiefs have ever been on an island for anybody
probably
picking.
Not.
I don't believe.
Probably not. I'm not comfortable with it at all. It is strictly a Justin Herbert line that's terrible. Yeah, the Chiefs line has all the injuries. They still look pretty good against the Texans, who have the top pass rush. Man, the Chargers all look terrible in that. Justin Herbert out there with a broken hand. I don't know how people still talk trash on Herbert. That what he did against the Eagles was just crazy. All right, let's go to the next one. Lions, Rams, afternoon window. Boy, this is a fun. Brandon takes the Chargers, by the way. Lions, Rams. Brandon starts us off here. Lions, he's taking the Lions plus the 6 points. I'm pretty surprised we've gotten to the point where the Lions are a 6-point dog against anybody. I believe I'm up first on this one. I love the Rams. The Rams are beating people badly. Man, there's a difference when you're playing the Cardinals than the Lions. I'm going to just take points here. I'm going to take the Lions and 6. This is a great game. And if the Lions lose this game, they're probably missing the playoffs. I mean, they're having the same kinds of conversations in Detroit that we're having here about the Chiefs. They're desperate. They can keep it within 6. They might even be able to win. Give me the Lions plus the 6. That takes us to Paul.
That takes it to me. And I'll tell you what, if Dan Campbell was suiting up, I would take the Lions this week. But the last I checked, Dan Campbell's going to coach on the sidelines. He's not suiting up and he's not playing. So I'm going to take the Rams.
TJ, they're beating everybody bad when they beat them. Are they going to do that to Detroit?
I think they can. Detroit is a little bit like the Chiefs this year, where you can't really figure out what's going on with them. They've got more losses than they typically will. And I think that the Rams are probably the best team in football. I think I'm ready to give them that title. I think that they can really prove it this week if they can put a big number on the Lions. I'll take the 6 points. I'll lay the 6 points, excuse me.
There's no island for me here, Tommy. Just so you know, Brandon's taking the Lions plus 6, so no islands here. Who you got?
By the way, did you guys know that Dan Campbell was in a show called Hard Knocks on HBO? I don't know if you knew that or not.
That
I just
show.
Wanted I wanted to point that out.
Wow. Can I get reruns on that thing? I think I can.
Sure. Yeah. You watch that whenever you want, Paul.
Thank you.
It's a really good show. I'm gonna take the Rams. I like the Lions. I have all season long. They've had issues injury-wise. Obviously, Sam Laporte is out. And he's, obviously the big security blanket for Jared Goff. I'm going to take the Rams. I do think they are the best team in football. I think that they are. They've got the best wide receiver core in football. I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to lay the six. I think at minimum they'll win by a touchdown, and then at that point they'll cover.
Yeah, I think they're the best team in football too. I just, maybe it's stubbornness. My Super Bowl teams might not make the playoffs. The Lions and the Ravens. I don't remember who you put the Packers up against, Tommy. The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Yeah. What a year in the NFL. All right, one more. Broncos, Packers. Broncos plus 2.5 at home against one of those teams you put in the Super Bowl, Tommy, the Packers. Can they go on the road to Denver and cover 3 points?
Man, I don't know. I think that, obviously, I did pick the Packers to win the Super Bowl, and they've been good this year, and I think that they are still my pick to at least represent the NFC. I think they can upset the Rams when it comes down to it, potentially in an NFC championship game. But all the Broncos do is cover. All they do is win. They've won all these close games, and the Broncos are getting points at home. As much as I like the Packers, and I'm going to continue to pick them to go all the way, I'm going to take the Broncos, and I'm going to take those points.
I'm not, and I will just die on the hill of I don't think the Broncos are as good as their record. The Packers better than their record? I think maybe. Is going to be a really interesting game. Both offenses could really struggle in this one. I'm going to take the Packers. I just think the Packers are better than the Broncos. Like, it for me, it's that simple. I think they're a better team. I think 2.5 I'm comfortable with. I'll lay it. I'll take Green Bay. Paul?
I'm looking at two factors this week for this particular game. 5,280 feet elevation in Denver, and the temperature's, you know, probably going to be in the 20s at game time. You know, cold weather and high elevation really give the Broncos the big advantage for this one. I'm taking the Broncos this week.
It's going to be ugly, TJ. This is old school football. Which side are you on?
I think we said yesterday, Jacob, you know, the saying goes, fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me two times, shame on me. Fool me 11 times, and I'll finally pick the Broncos. I'll do it this week. I think that it's the same thing for the Patriots. They're one of the best teams in the AFC, and they're getting points at home. You got to take them. I'm taking the points.
Brandon has taken the Broncos. Boys, I got a Packers and a Chiefs Island. I did not see that
coming.
Look
at that.
Before we made picks today. That's an interesting – and I don't – boy, I don't feel good about either one of them.
There you go. That's
honest.
Right.
Like, I don't either. There's not a – ah, God, what a year in the NFL. This is a nuts, chaos year. Who knows what our Super Bowl will be by the time the dust settles. If it's something boring like Eagles-Bills after all this season, I'm going to be so mad. Like, it better be something wild and crazy. What a
Panthers.
Year. What a year for picks. Yeah, Panthers sneak Panthers. In. Let's see Panthers.
Jags.
I don't know.
Panthers-Jags.
Panthers-Jags.
Oh, there
let's
you
go. I love it.
Cats. The expansion teams of what year was that? 1997?
Yeah.
Boy, I no offense to the some of these bowl games that I didn't even see this weekend. The Celebration Bowl, the L.A. Bowl, the Villanova-Tarleton State game. Missed those in our picks. My apologies. The L.A. Bowl thing, whatever it is, the Boise-Washington, that could be a decent game. Here's why I hate bowl games, and here's why I hate picking them. Army-Navy. They're going to bring it. They're going to play hard. I would just as soon not pick any bowl games that aren't college football playoff games. We don't even know who the hell's playing in these games anymore. You know, no offense intended to these bowl games that are other happening this weekend. Let's talk Chiefs Chargers here, boys. TJ, the Chiefs, they've got life. They've got a pulse. What, no matter how much we want to laugh at that, roll eyes at that, whatever it is, technically speaking, they have a pulse. None of it happens if they don't beat the Chargers. So we have called the last two games they have played, the Cowboys game and the Texans games, playoff games. They lose them both, and yet here they are with another playoff game. This one's probably a little more literal on that.
Yes.
Can they finally win a playoff game here in 2025?
That's the thing that I was talking to Schwenke about last night at work, is that, you know, you feel like you're being facetious because you've said for a month now that this is a must-win game. And then they lost. And then so this one is now a must-win game. And now they've lost so many must-win games that this is actually a must-win game. It's where they are at this point. I think that
we think they're must-win games at the time, and then they don't end up being must-win games. It's like, because, Daniel Jones blew his Achilles, so I guess it wasn't true. Must-win.
It's true. Now, I was trying to yesterday. I mean, I've spent like probably over, you know, an hour, 2 hours on this, trying to run the scenarios to where it's like, if the Chiefs win out – and this happens and this happens. And then, so then I'll like try to work my way backwards and say, okay, but what if the Colts only won? What if the Colts only lost one game? What if the Colts lost two games? What if the Chargers didn't lose these games? What if this happened here? Like I still can't put it in words because there's still so many things that right. can happen. But I know that no matter – I'm pretty sure that no matter what, the Chiefs have to win on Sunday. And if they lose on Sunday, they're done.
So, Paul, the challenge with it is there's still too many games to play to officially eliminate anybody and too many teams alive. After this week, we would have three games remaining. So Buffalo, the Chargers, Jacksonville are incapable of getting after this week to eight losses, which is where the Chiefs would be at that point. You would still have Houston capable, but you'd lose the tiebreaker. And then it gets into, you know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore probably at that point is irrelevant too. So it may, like this may be it. Like if they, this is probably that less than 10% piece of it because of the tiebreaker loss to Houston. If they lose, they're done. I'm pretty sure. I think you're right on that, TJ. But they know that anyway. We probably all feel like if they lost to the Texans, they were done. So you just can't put the fork quite in there yet. But when you've got something to play for still, right, until you're done, you're not done. And they're not done, technically speaking. Not that I think, I mean, I don't know. Do any of us think, Paul, do you think the Chiefs would ever get to a point where they're not giving full effort? I don't think they're wired that way. So maybe it doesn't matter too much, but they've got everything to still to play for, at least on paper.
Good. Gosh, you guys need mental help. Seriously, you guys really need some help. And I'm here for
you. You're talking to Max too much, aren't you?
Yeah. Max is in there manipulating Paul.
For God's sakes. 4 weeks in a row. Oh, the Chiefs, this is a must win. But they're still in it. Listen to yourselves. I'm here you guys.
Don't change our inflection. You're changing inflection. We're not saying, but they're still in it. We're saying, but they're still in it.
There you go. That's exactly what you're making.
There's a difference in that.
There's a difference. Of course there's a difference. And that's why we're going to get you the help that you guys need. Listen, this is a team that's horrible in turnovers. They can't get turnovers. They've got a lot of problems on this team. I don't know how at this point of the season how you guys can sit here and say, "Well, gosh, this is it, guys. We're still in it."
Have you watched them play? I think we're talking strictly mathematically speaking.
Yeah, we are.
Oh my gosh.
Max takes this as such a personal affront because he's the biggest sensitive Sally Patriots fan I've ever met.
Well,
nope. Saying like we think anything's going to happen. We're simply trying to state mathematical facts that they are not technically eliminated yet.
Well, when KFH starts a math show, I'm going to put you guys as the co-hosts. Okay, you guys can run the math show and do all the equations and all the things that you want to do. But this is the real world. This is the world of football, fellas. You were done when your team no longer expects yourself to win. We'll find a reason at how to lose, and that's where this team kind of is right now. Defending champions, a lot of championships in the last couple years. I get that. I understand that. Are there a lot of talented players on this team? Yes, I get that. But this is a team that is lacking in certain things when you look at, and I like to go to the fact that they're not causing as many turnovers as most of the teams in the NFL. I just think that this is it. The Chiefs are not the team this year. I'm not talking about next year, but the Chiefs are not the team you guys, you two, think they are. I'm here for you. Give me a call after the show.
You're listening to Max. Neither one of us think they're that team. Nobody's saying that at all. We're saying mathematically they're not eliminated.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Because mathematically they're not eliminated.
Mathematically.
Paul, what we're trying to do, we're trying to make this an educational program for folks like yourself, Paul. Because Paul Savage probably sits at home and watches them on TV and says, well, surely they got to be out of the playoffs now. I might as well tune into Sports Daily on Wichita's home for KFH Radio and listen to say what they have to say about what it will take for them to get into the playoffs or not.
Again, there is a big difference in saying the Chiefs, you know, will make the playoffs and the Chiefs technically can make the playoffs. Those are two entirely different conversations. Nobody on the planet outside of that locker room is saying that the Chiefs can make the playoffs. We're just saying that technically speaking, will make the playoffs. We're just saying that technically speaking, they can because they're not officially eliminated.
This mission is over.
Andy Reid, who, by the way, has been in this situation before in Philadelphia. I think one of his Eagles teams was about at this point in a season where they had this small a chance and it happened, right? And so you've been Paul, if you're Andy, you're still trying to convince your guys, we can only control one thing, right? It's an outside chance. We only get to control one piece of this now, and it's that we can go beat the Chargers. That's it. That's all we can do. Everything else is out of our control. And so they come into this game, and it's like, how do you do that? How do you beat the Chargers?
I got you.
You put Justin Herbert on his back as many times as you can. That's how.
You know what this reminds me of? Jacob, you kind of struck a chord for me. Yeah, I've been in these kind of situations. You know how you play the first half of a football game, and you get your butt kicked. You're down 40 points, and there's no way that you come back and win this game. So what do you say at halftime? Let's go out and win the second half. That's what we're doing right now. What we're saying is, come on, guys. Let's go out and win the second half of this game right now. That's what we want, the second half of this season. We're going to win it for us. We're going to win it for our pride. You know something? You got Patrick Mahomes, and you can't win with Patrick Mahomes? Then you just got to say, okay, that's it. I get it. But I get what your guys are trying to say. You're trying to manufacture a little bit of interest. You know, we want, quite frankly, the people that listen to us to enjoy this. But there comes that point where you just go, man, have you watched them on TV the last few weeks? And I know we all have. Who hasn't? You can't help yourself. We're Kansas City Chiefs fans. That's our number one team for all of us. But, you know, there just comes that point where I get a little upset, I guess, that they're not playing as well because they've got talent and they've got Patrick Mahomes. But there comes that point where you got to let go. I've let go.
Paul, I want to pose you this question. If like you're saying here, they've got Patrick Mahomes and they've got a team that should have been better than last year's team, probably. You still got Andy Reid coaching this team. What's it say about the Chiefs that they can't make the playoffs with this group? What's Paul Savage's brain think about that?
You know, something that is a really good question because it's probably a combination of certain things. But somehow, some way, this is a team that has not bonded together and trusts each other. That's what part of what this has got to be. I don't know what else it could be because you've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got a great coaching staff. You've got Andy Reid. You've got – I mean, this team should have it all. They should be competing. And now, I know there's been some injuries. But, guys, this is the NFL. You know something? Everybody's going to have some injuries. Everybody's going to face the injury bug somewhere along the line. I'm not sure I can say what it is, but you know it when you see it. And granted, there's only – 3 weeks left, I believe, and I think that's right. And so when you look at what's left and you think of where it's got to be – sometimes you got to say, you know something? Let's just root for the Chiefs because they're the Chiefs. You know, just have some fun with them because they're our team. Patrick Mahomes is our guy. And let's face it, we're glad Patrick Mahomes is on the Chiefs and not any other NFL team. And just take it and go have some fun with it. That's where we're at right now. Have some fun with the Chiefs. Get that.
DJ, Trey Smith practiced a little bit yesterday. Wanya Morrison, Juwan Taylor did not. Mm-hmm. Trey Smith practiced in full on Wednesday.
I think he's practiced all week.
He practiced in full on Wednesday, limited yesterday. It looks like he's going to play. Yeah, that will help. That will help.
Difference.
And if you're going to get into the kind of game with the Chargers where you're trying to just win with defense, getting Trey Smith back helps because maybe they run the ball a little bit more. You know, the formula against the Colts, right? Really see if you can't do it that way. Probably is in play here too, I would think, for the Chiefs. They may be interested with Trey Smith back and trying to just win a game that way again. It's desperation time. I know they like to throw the ball, but right now their receivers can't catch the ball.
I don't know. Can you trust your running backs to do something like that, though? Are you going to hand it off to Kareem Hunt 30 times again? I don't know.
They didn't have Pacheco. They wouldn't have to give it to Hunt 30, but they might give it to collectively both of them 28. I mean, maybe if it's working, yeah. If you trust your defense to get after Herbert, I think you trust your run game to at least not make a mistake and turn the ball over.
I think from what we've talked about what it looked like against the Texans, the way the defense played, like if you're the Chiefs, like something's got to change, and you can't change that much about the offense because of the pieces and the cards that you've been dealt. But like you can basically just say like, guys, let's go win 10-7. Like just figure out a way to get to 10 points basically. And make like sure realistically, if you took away the fourth down, I talked about this yesterday. If you take away that fourth down that they didn't get, which I believe resulted immediately in a Texans touchdown, and then the late field goal in garbage time, basically, like they only scored 10 points. Like there's a realistic world.
But Paul, they had 17 yards of offense in the second half. What did they have? 4 3 and outs before they decided to make the one of the worst calls I can ever remember seeing. Well, yeah, lean into your defense this week.
Well,
the receivers can't catch. They can't stop holding. They can't all those things. Like, run the ball.
I know. And it's very frustrating and infuriating and all that stuff. But you got to remember, this isn't the greatest Chiefs defense that we've ever seen either. You know, they're 24th in the league in sacks. They're 21st in interceptions. They're 17th in punt. This is a team that doesn't get the number.
They look good against Houston.
Paul, listen to me. Whenever the Chiefs documentary comes out, the biopic comes out in 15 years about how they overcame all the odds and won the Super Bowl this year, I'll invite you to go to the red carpet.
All right. That is tremendous.
Max needs a front row seat. Max would die. Max would die if the Chiefs make the playoffs. So for that reason, Chief. All right, that does it. Picks are in. We're having the typical Friday fun. Don't forget, TJ's got you covered in the Catch a Kansas crew tonight on 12 News, the Catch a Kansas app, and then the Catch a Kansas show on the KSCW at 10:35. Tune in for that for the first basketball edition. The Steve McIntosh retirement party is tonight. We're going to broadcast that 4 o'clock on KNSS. Wow, what a career. 55 years for Steve McIntosh. Tune into that. Stop by. Wish him all the best. What a career it's been. Fantastic stuff. Jerome Tang radio show here. There is a high school scoreboard show here as well on KFH tonight, brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex, ZINTEX.com. Of course, K-State basketball, Wichita State basketball, Butler basketball, Chiefs football, all here over our family of networks this weekend. We'll see everybody on Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.